5th election, tonight's forum is a great opportunity to learn about the candidates before you vote. Let's begin.
We'll start with opening statements. We'll go in alphabetical order by first name. In your opening statement, please introduce yourself and share why you're running for Community College Board. Please stay within the 30-second time limit. We'll start off with Alan Wong.
Thank you, everybody. As a young San Franciscan, I used to read Smart Voter to get informed on my ballot choices or to help inform my family. So thank you, everybody, for doing all this work. I'm Alan Wong. I'm the board president for City College of San Francisco. I was born and raised in San Francisco, and my entire family attended City College. As a past legislative aide for Supervisor Gordon Moore, I worked on drafting and passing the current Free City College program that's in effect. As policy director for Children's Council of San Francisco, I advocate for childcare and help ensure every child in San Francisco reaches their full potential. With a comprehensive education policy background, I aim to support all of our young people from birth to adulthood. Thank you.
We'll move on to Aliyah Chisti now.
Thank you so much. Thank you for hosting this forum. My name is Aliyah Chisti, and I am running for re-election to be on the City College Board. I'm also born and raised in San Francisco, went to Sunnyside, Aptus, and Lowell. Go Cardinals. And so the reason that I'm running for City College of San Francisco is because I believe it's San Francisco's most important institution and the people that it serves, and it plays such an important role in our community, and we've made a lot of progress in the last 4 years, and I want to make sure that we continue that progress, so I'm excited for the discussion tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to Ben Kaplan now.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ben Kaplan. I've been a higher education advocate for 25 years, and I think City College, we've sort of treated it lately as a cost center. It's something that takes a lot of resources instead of it being a great, great asset. And some of San Francisco's most challenging problems we could solve much easier if we had a strong City College. So I think City College, it used to be the crown jewel of the California Community College system. We've forgotten that, and we can absolutely positively get that back.
Thank you. We'll move on to Heather McCarty now.
Hi, thank you for having us tonight. I am running for City College Board of Trustees along with everyone else here on the stage. I am a former community college student, and I'm a proud product of public education from kindergarten all the way through my PhD from Berkeley. Because I experienced the magic of accessible, affordable, high-quality education, I decided that I wanted to dedicate my career to education to helping advance others. And so I have been a community college professor for the past 18 years, and I've been active in leadership in both my faculty union and our faculty senate, and I'm ready to bring my skills in the system to help stabilize City College. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll move on to Julia Ramos.
Hello, and thank you for hosting this event, the League of Women Voters. My name is Julio Ramos. I was elected to the College Board in 2000 and 2004, and now I'm raising a family here in San Francisco. City College is in crisis. Let's not mistake that. There's structural problems in the budget that is causing a great, grave injustice to the future of City College of San Francisco. It needs people who will advocate on behalf of the college at the state level, and that's what I do for a living as an attorney, and I look forward to getting your vote this November. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, we'll move on to Luis Zamora.
Hi, everyone. My name is Luis Zamora, and I am a community college graduate, the first in my family to graduate from higher education. And I'm running for City College Board to give back to a system that's given me so much. In my day-to-day, I work for the city attorney's office. In the past, I've worked for some of our nation's top law firms and have also worked for our state legislature. And recently, I was appointed to the Board of Trustees by Mayor Breed, and I hope to bring all my experiences to the board and to be elected in November. Thank you.
Thank you. Lastly, we'll end off with Ruth Ferguson.
Hi, I'm running for City College Board because I know firsthand how important and accessible and affordable community college education is to families and entire communities. My family has relied on community college for generations. 4 out of 5 people in my immediate family are community college graduates, including me. Community college helped lift me out of my small rural hometown and into a 4-year university, and I again relied on it a few years ago while working full-time in the California legislature before getting a master's in public policy at UC Berkeley. I'm running for City College Board to protect this resource for generations to come. Thank you.
Thank you all for your opening statements.
Let's move on to the first question. City College has faced some challenges over the last few years. On day one, what is the most important issue to address? How will you address it? And why are you the right person to resolve it? We'll start with Aliyah Chisti.
Thank you for the question. So day one, the most important thing that we need to do is make sure we reaffirm our accreditation. So we have to submit a progress report to ACCJC by March 2025. We have already started that work. I called for an ad hoc policy committee that has been formed to review our policies and to make sure that we address the recommendations from ACCJC. So I'll continue that work. I think there's a lot of improvement needed in the board's governing structure, and so I've been happy to work on that. And I believe I'm the best person for this. I have a master's in education policy. I've also served as a legislative on the Board of Supervisors. I used to previously oversee the Free City College program. And so I have an in-depth understanding of City College of San Francisco. And as a trustee for the last few years, I have seen some of the issues in the governing practices, have been working to improve that. And I'm confident that we will reaffirm our accreditation. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on to Ben Kaplan.
Well, certainly the accreditation issue is important, but it actually stems from something more fundamental, which is that the City College Board doesn't have good relations with the state. And that's because if you rank, for instance, the California chancellor has said, we want 2 months of reserves available for all community colleges in the state. That's the gold standard. If you rank community college districts in California from 1 to 72 on the amount of reserves, City College ranks consistently number 72. But beyond that, so first we need to do is have better relations so we can get out of the crosshairs of the state. But second, the best way to support students and faculty and all of the stakeholders of City College is to grow enrollment. One of the things that I've done is for 25 years, I've written books about college, and it's all focused on growing enrollment. The fastest growing colleges, community colleges in the country right now, are growing at 30 to 40% per year. We could eliminate a lot of the problems City College has if we focused on enrollment growth. And there's great ways to do that and have immediate action right now this year.
Thank you. Let's move on to Heather McCarthy.
Hi, thank you for the question. I agree that actually accreditation is really, for me at least, the first thing to fix straight out of the gate. I think it's the most important thing to the institution. The college is on accreditation running right now because of the actions of the current board, and exclusively because of the actions of the current board. And so part of addressing that is actually handling governance issues at the college. One of the three things that they're on accreditation warning for is failure to follow their own board policies and procedures. Another piece is failure to respect the authority of the chancellor. And then the last piece is failing to make financial decisions for the institution with a long-term focus in mind. And so thus, there is an accreditation report that needs to be turned in on March 5th. That's an update letter to the ACCJC to let them know how they're handling those issues. But there needs to be long-term change to ensure that they don't wind up on accreditation crisis again. And I think I'm the right person for this job because I have experience navigating accreditation both at UC Berkeley and in the community college system. I actually have 18 years of experience working on accreditation issues. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's move on to Julio Ramos.
The number one thing I would do when on the board is really establish a policy and focus on student housing. Currently, the state of California is allocating funds to many different community college districts, many real nearby. San Mateo is one example. They're building tons of community housing for students. We're not doing that at City College of San Francisco. We're not even in line for any funding. That's the number one thing in San Francisco, the high cost of housing, but no one's addressing that at the College Board currently. That would be my number one priority. We have enough space at the Ocean Avenue campus to make that happen. There's plenty of facilities that can be constructed there for student housing that we're currently not doing. I think that's remiss from the college, from a future standpoint, in not engaging in the debate and the discussion about student housing and establishing student housing. We have the capacity to do that. The state of California is providing funding for that, and City College of San Francisco is nowhere to be seen on that issue.
Thank you. Let's move on to Luis Zamora.
Seeing as my first day was just a few weeks ago, I immediately met with the interim chancellor to go over the budget that coincidentally was passed 2 days after my appointment. But I had many questions for him, and I was very happy to see a lot of the changes I've been advocating for in this adopted budget. One of those was more transparency around hold harmless funding. The state has provided us this year with $37 million of that funding for students we do not serve. Although we do have a $1.6 million surplus, that also means that there's about a $35 million deficit that we really need to focus on. And so I really want to address those financial issues in a pragmatic, collaborative way in order to address the accreditation warning letter. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on to Ruth Ferguson.
Great. So, I mean, accreditation absolutely is a short-term concern. I am going to talk a little bit about another short-term concern, which is enrollment. Enrollment at City College has dropped really dramatically. Community colleges across the country have faced similar challenges. Over the past 10 years, I think like a half million of kind of standard, like 18 and years old and older community college students have removed themselves from the community college system. So this is a challenge that we are seeing, but there are some great pipelines to increasing students. So for instance, looking at dual enrollment, encouraging pipelines between SFUSD and CCSF. I'm a dual enrollment student, or I took classes at my community college through dual enrollment. This is an equity-backed method of increasing enrollment. And a reason why I think I am a great person, I am a person that you should elect to this board to focus on issues like accreditation and enrollment, are because I have a master's in public policy. I understand how to use data to look at issues and find interventions to address them. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on to Alan Wong.
Hello. I think the most important issues that we need to deal with are fiscal sustainability for the college long term and also our accreditation issues. As the board president, I've appointed two different committees, a budget ad hoc committee and a ad hoc policy committee, to have trustees look into these issues and so that we can get together by March to bring back a report to ensure that we're able to move forward with our accreditation process. Secondly, on my first meetings on the job, when I was first elected trustee, the one thing that I got was mandatory budget updates at every single board meeting so that we would see the financial actuals at every single board meeting so we would not just see it during the budget process. The other things that we've been able to move forward with, as a budget committee chair, I work to require us to have five-year budget planning so that we are planning and projecting our budgets many years out so that we can foresee possible challenges as opposed to budgeting year over year, and requiring two-thirds of trustees to redeploy our financial reserves. So there are many more changes that we need to make at the College Board, and I'm here for it. Thank you.
Thank you guys all for your responses. We'll now move on to question two. How will you advance the goals of the City College with the very real need to collaborate with supervisors, the mayor, not to mention state and federal bodies, in order to make meaningful progress? We'll start off with Ben Kaplan.
Well, I actually think it's a great question because the connection between City Hall and City College is one of our most important connections, but it's not real strong right now. City College is on the front lines of solving San Francisco's most toughest challenges. A great example is after George Floyd, AB 89 in California said that starting next year, all new police officers in California have to have at least a minimum associate's degree in modern policing. That means the critical pipeline of well-trained police officers, and we want them well-trained, has to come from City College. In addition, on national issues, we haven't connected it. A good example is last year, the US Supreme Court made affirmative action illegal in higher education. So in the US Department of Education, they've come together and said, the most important connection we have for equity and social mobility is actually community college to four-year transfers. We have to focus on community college to get the diversity outcomes we want. So we've got to connect City College to national, to state, to local issues, and that's how we make it really relevant and make people care about City College again.
Thank you. We'll move on to Heather McCarty now.
Could you repeat the question?
Yeah. So how will you advance the goals of the City College with the very real need to collaborate with supervisors, the mayor, not to mention state and federal bodies, in order to make meaningful progress?
Yeah, I mean, there are lots of ways in which I think we need to be collaborating with city, state, and federal bodies. For me, too, because we're limited on time, I'll focus on is I think it's really important to continue to have strong relationships with supervisors so that we can ensure the longevity of Free City College, which is an amazing program that offers a lot of opportunity for our San Francisco residents. So I think maintaining positive relationships with the Board of Supervisors and the mayor so that we can continue to have support for what I think is a really groundbreaking program. And then the other piece for me that I think we really need to be involved in is actually lobbying at the state. One of the issues with the financial situation of the college is that the state chancellor's office changed the funding formula back in 2018. And it's called the student-centered funding formula. And it's based on three different metrics. And City College is not doing well under the current funding formula model. Actually, a lot of the more urban community colleges are not. And so I know with my own college, I participate in a lobbying group that reaches out to the state chancellor's office to try and change the formula. And so I think it would be great for City College to be joining those efforts, those statewide efforts to lobby. Thanks.
Thank you. We will now move on to Julio Ramos.
That's a very important question that you ask, and I think one of the entities that's not mentioned in the question is the obvious one, San Francisco Unified School District. I think City College of San Francisco is not doing a good job in connecting with San Francisco Unified School District. The current crisis that exists at the Unified School District impacts City College of San Francisco directly and indirectly. And I think one of the things that's most important is to understand that City College of San Francisco, most of its students come from SFUSD. And the declining enrollment right now in SFUSD directly impacts City College of San Francisco. One of the main things I think that needs to take place is to establish a robust concurrent enrollment program with SFUSD in order to make sure that those students that are eligible to go to City College of San Francisco do so in the less obtrusive way possible, because I think that's really important for the issues that are being discussed about increasing enrollment. That's step number one, the most obvious, and the step that we need to undertake currently.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Luis Zamora.
Thank you. Yeah, I've spent most of my career being collaborative, whether it was at our state legislature, within city government, and it's what's required. But we really should be leveraging more of our relationships that we've built over the years. For example, many of our state elected leaders, like Senator Scott Wiener, Assemblymember Matt Haney, our future assembly person in Assembly District 19, we need to be working with them to advocate for more funding. And we also need to work with people on the federal level. I personally have worked with Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi's office recently to advocate for funding on the federal level for projects like City Build here in San Francisco, things that could actually help City College as well. We just need to push forward those lobbying efforts. And that's what I will do if elected in November. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Ruth Ferguson.
Collaboration, especially in this moment for the college, is really critical. And I have a lot of experience working with various levels of government within various levels of government to achieve change at the state and local level. So as I mentioned, I was previously a legislative staffer in the California legislature, and I worked with community colleges shortly after the implementation of the new student-centered funding formula to answer some of their questions and concerns. So I'm familiar with, you know, that sort of relationship with legislative staff and community colleges. Also, I came forward as a whistleblower in 2022 while I was working in the legislature, and I worked for a very long time with legislators and came to the table with legislative leadership and was able to make critical changes in the labor rights in the legislature by coming to the table with them, by negotiating and explaining some of the issues and finding common ground. So that is absolutely something that I will do on the City College Board to protect things like Free City, to make sure that we're all moving forward together.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Alan Wong.
Funding for education is broken. We need to fix Proposition 13, and we need to change how the state funding formula supports community colleges and other education systems statewide. I'm proud to be supported by Evolve California, which is working across the state to reform Prop 13. As a legislative aide, I worked on a collaboration to expand City College classes into our high schools to allow dual enrollment into our communities, placing them into local high schools for to support our high school students. As a supervisor's legislative aide, I worked a multi-agency effort with DCYF, Board of Supervisors at City College, to get Free City College passed at the Board of Supervisors. As a board trustee, I worked with our state assembly member, Phil Ting, to pass a piece of state legislation to allow all community colleges to celebrate Lunar New Year. And so for me, I think that speaks to my record of being able to work with different parties across the city and the state to advance legislation. And I think ultimately, we need to fix our broken education funding system. Thank you.
Thank you. And we'll lastly end off with Aliyah Chisti.
All right. I think the most important thing is that we actually hire a position to help us with state and government relations. It's a full-time job. Someone who is tracking legislation that's coming out at the state level, the federal level, and the local level, and then advising the board on how we can perhaps advocate or sign a letter of support. I think the second most important thing is that we have to show progress. Our Board of Supervisors, assembly members want to see progress financially for City College, and I think we have made steps and strides in showing that. I think the other thing that's also really important is that to acknowledge is our students. Our students have actually successfully advocated for funding at the congressional level for transit passes, and so I can't take credit for that, but they did the advocacy. They came to the chair. I'm the chair of the Student Success and Policy Committee, and I signed a letter in support of their efforts. So our students are the most important advocates, and working with them and also presenting the data of who we serve at City College, students of color, low-income students. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to question three now.
What is your plan to support recruiting and retaining talented educators to City College? We'll start with Heather McCarty.
I think in terms of recruiting talented educators to City College, part of that really, I think, is about finding ways to celebrate more effectively the amazing things that are happening at City College. City College is an incredible institution. It is a place where students from all over the city come together to learn, to improve their lives, and to grow. And we have some amazing programs at City College, and I think marketing that and celebrating that is, I think, a key to helping to not only attract but retain quality educators as well. I also think that it's really important to have collaborative relationships between the board and all of the stakeholders at the college, so that folks who are hired at the institution can decide that they have an access to an avenue for their voice to be heard and their needs to be honored and met. And so I think that's a big piece of it as well. And then I think part of it is also really just working with the HR department to ensure that as we are beginning our hiring processes, that we are keeping in mind some of the best practices around diverse hiring practices, so that we are making sure that we are outreaching and maintaining.
Thank you. We will move on to Julio Ramos.
I think the most important thing is to establish and create stability at City College of San Francisco. No employee, administrator, classified staff wants to go to a place to work where they think the next day they might not get their paycheck because the state of California might pull funding or they might not have funding in the future. So establishing stability is the number one thing. And unfortunately, speaking to voters now in San Francisco, people are frustrated. City College of San Francisco goes from one crisis to another, to another, to another. So for the last 10 years, we've been in crisis. I think establishing a stable funding formula, attempting to work within the system as it currently exists, and not trying to create it from scratch is very, very essential in order to create that type of atmosphere and environment. Nobody wants to go to somewhere where they think they might not have a job the next day, or that the funding might be cut, or that they might not have a future at the school. So establishing funding that's stable is obviously the most important thing to do.
Thank you. Let's move on to Luis Zamora.
Yeah, I'm in complete agreement with Julio. We definitely need a stable community college. I would also say that we just need more housing across the board. Housing for our faculty, housing for our workers, housing for everyone. Everyone deserves to live where they work. Students deserve to live where they go to college. And so I would be absolutely supportive of exploring future efforts to build student and faculty housing. We should be able to explore some of our real estate portfolio to see if we can expand that a little bit more. I know some efforts have already been made, which I applaud, but not just at City College. I think across the Bay Area, we need more housing, and I think that we need to support those efforts. And I hope that everyone here joins me in that effort. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on to Ruth Ferguson.
So I think to make sure that you have a workforce, that you can recruit and retain a workforce that is diverse and productive and happy, you need to make sure that the college itself and the board is productive and collaborative and stable. I think that this means, increasing enrollment, stabilizing the budget and the college to make sure that faculty actually can remain on the campus, that staff can remain on the campus for years to come, and also hiring a permanent chancellor. I think the college has had 10 chancellors in the past 12 years, and I know that that really does go into the decision of when people are trying to decide where they want to go to work at a community college is, like, what does the leadership look like and what will... What will that leadership look like and the kind of productivity of the board and of the college as a whole? And I think that it really does take everybody working together and making sure that faculty know that City College is a great place to work.
Thank you. Let's move on to Alan Wong.
I believe one of the ways to retain the best workforce, including faculty, classified administrators, is to have a collaborative approach with and dignity and respect on our job for all the workers. I was only trustee to oppose faculty layoffs, and not because I don't think there are issues of our fiscal issues, but we could have done that collaboratively. In the past, our staff worked with our past administrators, including our longest tenured a chancellor, to really voluntarily decided not to take cost of living adjustments for 2 years so that they can protect all classes at City College. We've had our faculty voluntarily decide up to 14% pay decreases so that they can help support the rest of City College. So I think that we need to have a collaborative approach and respect on the job for all of our workers. And the way that we do that is that they need to know that there's stability at the college, there's stability for all of our groups at the college.
Thank you. Let's move on to Aaliyah Chisti.
Thank you. I'm proud to have provided our faculty and our staff with 14% raises. They were very long overdue. I think that employee morale is also really important. I've brought in a commendations section into the Student Success and Policy Committee meeting so that we could recognize the work of our amazing faculty and acknowledge them for their efforts. To the point of educator housing, I have connected our union leadership with CBOs that are working on providing educators with housing, so we'll continue to advocate for those efforts. We have the most amazing faculty at City College of San Francisco. They are incredibly dedicated to the students, and so every board meeting, I acknowledge some folks that have decided to retire. 40 years, 50 years of serving City College students. So folks that come to City College and want to teach at City College really believe in the institution and the students that they serve. And so I would like to continue to support them. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's finish off with Ben Kaplan.
Well, it's a great question because I actually think it starts with a vision of getting City College back on the right track. No one, whether you're a student or faculty or other stakeholders, wants to be part of something that doesn't feel like you're doing something great. And to get City College back on the right track, the vision starts with really two entities. One is picking a chancellor who has a vision for City College and has some characteristics like, of course, fiscally strong, but also has the back of people in the community, has experience in enrollment growth, has a vision for where this goes. So it's like something like, I want to be a part of this. I want to be part of the change that's happening. The second is actually the Board of Trustees. This year, there was a great report done on the existing Board of Trustees. And the fact that many entities, including the faculty, graded the current Board of Trustees, they gave them a C-. All of the grades were 2.0 out of 5, 2.1 out of 5, 2.4 out of 5 out of anything. We need like vision from leadership of we are doing something great together and you want to be a part of it.
Thank you guys all for your responses, and we'll now move on to question 4. City College provides some referrals for affordable housing for students. Is there any plan to increase those referrals, not only for more units, but also City College staff? Is there any plan to convert some on-campus buildings to potentially offer housing solutions for students or staff? We'll start off with Julio Ramos.
Excellent question. I think I started off talking about student housing. I do believe that that's the number one issue. I work out at the 24-hour fitness on Ocean Avenue, and I overhear the discussions of the students. Many of them are homeless. Many of them don't have a place to live. Many used to live in campers before they were kicked out by the city right in front of the college. I think that's the most important issue currently because the affordability crisis in San Francisco in housing is the number one issue, in my opinion, with respect to keeping enrollment and growing enrollment. So with respect to referrals, I'm not aware of them. With respect to whether City College of San Francisco is in line to get state funding through the bond program that it has, I'm not aware that City College of San Francisco is, but I do know that San Mateo County is, and that adjacent community college districts are accessing that funding, and that needs to be the number one priority.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Luis Zamora.
Thank you. Yeah, I don't know if there is an active current plan. I believe that there is based on some of the comments that have been made tonight, and I encourage those. In my last statement, I've said housing is what we need. But I do know that there are at least 2 properties within the City College portfolio that are not currently used as campuses for students that are worth exploring. One is the old administration building, and the other is a campus that has been shuttered for quite some time. We could explore the options with those 2 sites to see if we can enter into some type of agreement with the city or developer onto building more housing that could be mixed use, not just for faculty and students and our workers, but also for first responders and the like. I think that there's just a whole new world out there for us to try to advocate for, and this is definitely in line with what I hope the college is moving towards in the future.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Ruth Ferguson.
One of the first pieces of legislation that I worked on as a legislative staffer was a bill in 2019, AB 302, that my boss had authored after an intern, actually, in our office, who was a community college student, came to our office and asked my boss to create a piece of legislation that would allow or it would require community colleges to create safe parking lots for their students. And this is because there is a high percentage of community college students who sleep in their cars, who sleep in campers. And I think that this is unacceptable. This bill unfortunately did not pass. And I think that the college should be doing everything it can to, identify spaces for affordable housing for students and for faculty, because we know that, you know, faculty salaries also, you know, kind of don't cover the costs associated with living in San Francisco. And just really overall, looking at the high percentage of community colleges, college students that are housing insecure, this has to be a top issue.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Alan Wong.
The rent is too damn high for students. We need to work to help support our youngest and most vulnerable students. We recently, there were proposed cuts to our free City College funding and program. There was money in there that was dedicated and committed to City College that we could have been using for other purposes, including supporting the basic needs for our tech needs, for even to support some of their housing costs if we were able to protect that funding for our students. So for me, I think that we need to protect our free City College program and use that money to use it for our basic needs of our students. Also, I think that housing, yes, it's one of the most important things that are preventing our college students from accessing housing. Right now, there's so many college students that I've met, community college students, where they're going to City College for 4 or 7 years because they need to work another job, they need to do something else. And so for me, I think we need to push for more affordable housing in the city for our most in need communities.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Aliyah Chisti.
Thank you so much. I think it's absolutely awful that students have to often make tough decisions around going to school, and we have to talk about the total cost of attendance. Free City, great concept, only covers tuition. Doesn't take into account books, food, and housing is a big piece of that. So I think we need to expand that conversation. Some of the things that I've done as a board member, I've actually sponsored a resolution for student housing because community colleges were finally in the conversation about student housing. We heard it at CSUs, UCs, but community college students were always left out of that. And with the money that's available at the state level, I have presented a resolution directing the administration to apply for those grants, explore properties. And the last thing is that as board members, we're in the community. So I was at an event, I connected with someone from Larkin Street Youth Services that wanted to support housing insecure students and facilitated that partnership.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Ben Kaplan.
Instead of a student-centered funding formula, let's have a student-centered outcome focus. And a great example of what we can learn from is the 12 rural community college districts in California. They are laser focused on student outcomes, meaning if there are not a lot of job opportunities in your area, they make sure that students have great training for jobs, great opportunities for housing, great jobs after they graduate, and it's very focused and streamlined. So I think in City College, there's actually many ways to get a lot of additional support to students. Great example. Second largest employer in San Francisco is UCSF. They need thousands of medical technicians, medical administrators, and others. Those are great paying jobs with great benefits. There is other community colleges across the country that actually allow work-study programs, that allow those companies who need workers, students to actually earn income from that as they are trained to take jobs. Those are amazing things. We just haven't aligned all of those student outcomes and had a laser focus on student outcomes.
Thank you. We'll now end off with Heather McCarty.
Thank you so much for that question. It's such an important question. My students, every semester, I have students come in and out of homelessness. I have lots of students that live in their cars. I have students who struggle on a daily basis with both housing insecurity and food insecurity. We have a basic needs center at my college where we are providing wraparound services, and we're able to do that because we have partnerships with Alameda Food Bank. We have partnerships with other external grants. So we're able to provide a lot of the wraparound services that City College doesn't currently have. We're able to provide them at my college. We're actually in the middle of our housing development. We have a developer that we're working with in a partnership. We've secured state and federal grants as well as some external funding in order to actually build affordable housing for our students at my college in the East Bay. So these things are all possible and they are needed. That is the difference in what's going to help students be successful. It's a key piece to it. Students who are housing insecure or food insecure do not do well in the classroom, and we want to set them up for success. And there are resources available, so we should be tapping into them. That's something that City College needs to be doing. Thank you.
Thank you guys all for your responses. We'll now move on to question 5. City College plays a big role in the San Francisco education ecosystem. It helps us train firefighters and law enforcement and healthcare professionals. They provide an adult school that teaches English as a second language and job training. It also gives high schoolers the opportunity to dual enroll and take classes while finishing high school, all while trying to provide the standard classes needed for a range of certificate programs and serving as an on-ramp to 4-year degree programs and beyond. How will you make sure City College continues to provide these programs? We'll start off with Louis Zamora.
Yes, I think keeping City College a community college is key. We don't want to be a junior college. We want to be a community college. So that means not just focusing on students who are seeking to transfer, but also focusing on lifelong learners, people that are going there to get a technical or vocational degree. And I believe that means that we need to invest more into our pipeline classes such as construction and nursing and firefighters, as was mentioned. But we also need to double down on dual enrollment, and I know many people up here agree as well. In particular, there's one around technology called PTech that's been highly successful, connecting high school students to community colleges. It's been successful in New York and in San Diego, even up in the East Bay. I know we can replicate that here, and we could do it for free because these plans are made available to other institutions and with the help of our state chancellor's office. And I really feel like we should be uplifting those efforts. Thank you.
Great. Yeah. Okay. So when, as I mentioned, I was a dual enrollment student, and in my second year of community college, I was our student body president. And this meant that I met students from all sorts of walks of life, including many dual enrollment students. We had like over 1,000 students who utilized dual enrollment. An interesting statistic is that in Washington State, about 88% of students before they exit the K-12 system take at least one community college class. And in California, only 12.5% of students do that. So I think it's critical that not only for students who are seeking transfer degrees, you know, academic degrees, but also vocational training, that we get into schools early, that students know that these resources are available to them, and then we make sure that students take at least one class at CCSF before they exit high school. And I just want to also say that dual enrollment is proven to have really deep equity impacts. Students who take at least one community college class before graduating or leaving high school are more likely to graduate high school and college. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on to Alan Wong.
My family experienced all three of those things that you mentioned. My dad, he enrolled in City College's culinary program, and that's how he became a local student hotel cook on the Grand Hyatt on Stockton and supported my family for 2 decades. Both my parents took ESL classes at City College, and that's how they were able to better integrate and improve their job prospects. And for myself, as a high school student, I took City College classes, and those classes helped me graduate from UC San Diego when I was just 19 years old with a bachelor's degree. Before I was elected to the Board of Trustees, I actually worked on the job to promote all these three things as well for the next generation of people. When I was working at City Hall, I worked on expanding child development classes to place them at our local child care nonprofit so that child care workers could get off work and take the classes right afterwards. Also ESL classes, expanding opportunity and doing direct outreach to get people enrolled. And finally, actually offering calculus classes for high school students. That class was so popular that the youth were fighting to get in that class, and so we can do more of that.
Thank you. Let's move on to Aliyah Chisti.
Thank you. This is one of the things that I love about community colleges. It's the multiple missions it has. But at the same time, I remember reading this policy paper in graduate school, and I think community colleges encompass this idea of what is the purpose of education? Is it for social mobility? Is it for creating more informed citizens? What is the purpose of it? Or is it just for the joy of learning? That's David Library's argument. And so I think City College encompasses that anyone who wants to, whether they want to transfer to a four-year or they want to learn how to dance or they're want to change their careers, they can take a class at City College. But what often happens is that board members with finite number of resources, we have to figure out what to prioritize. And so I care the most about our students of color, low-income students. But at the end of the day, whatever their goal is, our job as trustees is to make sure that they reach that goal and they have a positive experience and they get the support that they need.
Thank you. Let's move on to Ben Kaplan.
Well, one of the things that's interesting when you look at the data now is that keeping City College a community college and having these diverse tracks for different types of people is actually the number one thing we can do to strengthen City College. So here's an example. The fastest growing group of students enrolled in community college in California, those are students over the age of 40. That's number one right now. Number two, fastest growing group enrolling in community college, that's dual enrolled students. And the groups that have actually slowed down are more of the transfer students. So to get the mission of everything we've discussed tonight, let's make City College incredibly stable and strong. Let's shore up the finances. Let's do student outcomes. All of those things actually are supported by a very diverse mission statement of education and all its different parts. So to grow enrollment at City College, to strengthen City College, we need it to be a community college. That's what the data tells us.
Thank you. Let's move on to Heather McCarty.
This is actually why I wanted to run for board at this time. I think the magic of community college is that it has a diverse mission, that this is the place that you go to when you want to learn English, that this is the place you go to redo or relearn some new skills for changing your career, that this is a place you go to if you decide you want to, you know, complete a degree or certificate, or maybe even transfer on, or maybe you just want to take an art history class because you're curious. It doesn't matter. This is the magic of the community college mission. And I actually decided to run because when the community college got placed on accreditation morning back in January, I was worried that if City College continues on this path, that we would lose this magic. Because if the state comes in, they will change our mission from being a community college and they will push us to being a junior college because that's what's happening at the statewide level. So really, yes to everything said on the stage, but the way we protect those things and ensure those things happen is by fixing our budget, because we have to get financially stable or the state will come in and they will take us over and they will get rid of our magic and we will just be a degree completion institution.
Thank you. Let's finish off with Julio Ramos.
That is the nub of the question, right? How do we preserve the programs that City College of San Francisco has? We're not going to have Governor Gavin Newsom in perpetuity as governor. But he himself alone created a process whereby the community college system funding at the statewide level is basically where it needs to be, plus about $190 million more. So that preserved a lot of the programs that City College of San Francisco has. But the awful, awful truth is that the college is on borrowed time. Right now, because of the Hold Harmless Agreement, the college is being funded as if it had 30,000 students when it only has 10,000 students. And the college is ill-prepared for the future, a future without Gavin Newsom, and a future without the Hold Harmless Agreement, and a future without COLA. So the cost of living adjustments are being phased out. And if City College of San Francisco does not grasp the reality of the situation, we will be confronted by a possible state takeover, or even worse, the loss of accreditation. So I think that's step number one. Really wake up and let's deal with the issue.
Thank you. Let's move on to question six.
So SFUSD is planning to announce some school closures in October, and the community knows that K-12 public schools and the Community College Board are not the same thing, but there are very real funding problems for City College right now. If elected, are you committed to keeping all current campuses open? Specifically, we received community concern around the Chinatown and Mission Center campuses. Let's start off with Louis Zamora.
Yes, absolutely. I'm committed to keeping the campuses open. I think that we do need to look at everything to see where we might be able to consolidate in certain areas, but those are vital campuses that the community relies on. Again, I think writing the budget, making sure that we're financially stable, looking at certain things outside the box, like our real estate portfolio that is not an active campus right now, to see if we can leverage that. We might have a property that's on a current land lease right now, a 100-year land lease. We might have another one that's just not being used. Like, this is untapped resources, frankly, for the college. But we also need to bring in new curriculum. So working with the Academic Senate to try to provide new courses. We are becoming the AI capital of the nation. I know many of those organizations would love to invest with City College and would pay for it. And so why not start bringing in those hungry students? I think that's what we can do.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Ruth Ferguson.
Yeah, so each City College campus is critical to its micro community and all those campuses to our entire community. And, you know, it includes the courses taught, the specific ESL classes, perhaps, you know, taught at the Chinatown campus. And those are different from those that are taught at the Mission campus. So it's important to make sure that we hang on to these and that they continue to serve those communities. I also, yeah, I think that some of these spaces are underutilized at the moment, and I think that there are many different avenues to increasing that utilization. So for instance, looking at childcare and using some of these, like the Chinatown campus just opened in 2012 and it's a state-of-the-art facility, being able to utilize that space for childcare that serves that community would be incredible. I think really also, as Julio said, you know, the college is on borrowed time, and so what's critical is in this next term, making sure that we have people who will fight for the college and keep it stable.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Alan Wong.
I believe that we have the right balance of campuses at this time, and I don't believe in selling or not utilizing any of our campuses. Now, what I do think we can do is we can look at how we can restructure and consolidate resources in a strategic manner so that we are able to get the best enrollment possibilities, able to attract the right students to certain campuses that may and neighborhoods that may align with those goals. So I'm thinking about, why aren't there Cantonese classes at our Chinatown campus? Why, you know, I have students coming to me asking about why aren't there's a culinary program when there's at the Chinatown campus when we've got a kitchen over there. So, you know, there's all these different opportunities that exist, and we should be looking at these things strategically. Also, seeing how we can align our resources at other campuses as well so that we can support all of our students in our different communities that have different needs. So we just need to kind of cater to niche neighborhoods where people want to get access.
Thank you. Now we'll move on to Aliyah Chisti.
Thank you so much. Preserving all of our centers is incredibly important to me, and I absolutely commit to that if reelected. I do think there's opportunities for strategic use of some of our spaces, as other candidates have brought up. At the Chinatown Center, there's an empty corner spot, and I would love to see our amazing culinary students, they make the best pastries in the world, showcase that and provide it to the community. And so I think there's an opportunity for that as well. We can have all the ideas in the world, but if we do not have staff to execute those ideas, this is where it will stay. We currently have one person that's seeing most of our facilities. So having additional administrative support there is absolutely integral. And so a current chancellor, Chancellor Bailey, has been filling some of the significant vacancies at the administrative level. So I think taking these ideas to the next level will be really important in the next few years.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Ben Kaplan.
I actually think we need a complete shift in mindset about how we think about branch campuses. Chinatown is a great example. We view it as a cost center instead of an asset of growth and change. Here's an example of that. During the week, classes stop in the afternoon, maybe 3 or 4 o'clock. Chinatown campus is not utilized on the weekend. Yet actually, the lesson we can learn from the fastest growing community colleges in the US is that they do two things. One, they invite the community into the campus. So the best way to support City College is to invite groups like the League of Women Voters to come have your next meeting there on campus. And two, what community colleges do is they go out into the community. So you don't have to participate in City College by attending campus, you go out into Chinatown and you go out into the community. So we've got to actually view the physical assets, the presence in Chinatown, in the mission, as an incredible asset that we need to leverage to get confidence and growth and stability in City College. Again, it's not a cost center, it's an asset.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Heather McCarty.
Thank you. Yes, I commit to keeping all of our campuses open. I think that they serve very specific needs for very specific communities, and so I'm not interested in closing campuses. I took my first City College class actually at the Mission campus. There's an amazing child observation program there, and I took parenting classes there, and it was transformational for me. And I know that that's one of the things that the Mission campus does well. I think what really is important is to take a step back and to do a facilities assessment and figure out what we have where at different campuses and how those connect to programs we have, and to also do some real student needs assessment. Like Ben was saying, like, why are those classes done at 3 and 4? And like Alan was saying, why aren't we teaching Cantonese out at the Chinatown campus? I think we need to really be doing a student and community needs assessment so we can actually be scheduling and offering our programs in places where the community wants those and needs those types of programs. Thanks.
Thank you. We'll now end off with Julio Ramos.
I'll always support the mission in Chinatown campuses. Willie Brown lobbied me when I was on the board to not vote in favor of the college district exempting itself from local ordinances when the Chinatown construction phases were taking place. And I voted in favor of exempting the college district for the Chinatown campus. And politically, probably that wasn't the best thing to do, but I knew that as a policy matter, as an educational matter, that was very important. But the college needs to radically undertake a different approach to those two campuses. And what I mean specifically is those colleges should be allowed to have their own accreditation, and in that way, they can create their own funding streams and basically, as has been mentioned here, enable them to fulfill their promise to the community, enable them to increase the amount of enrollment that they respectively could have much more. They're dependent now in the center.
Thank you. Let's move on to question 7. Some community members have expressed frustration with the availability of some classes at City College campuses or online, especially when it comes to prerequisite classes or those that complete a specific degree or certificate program. The main frustration for most people was it being a lengthy process to get started or to finish certain programs. What can you do to address these concerns? We'll start with Ruth Ferguson.
Thank you. Yeah, so two things. I think getting your foot in the door at City College I can be difficult. The number one issue that I hear about from voters is that it's really hard to register online for classes. And so even just getting in the City College pipeline is difficult. And that's something that, you know, we've heard candidates for years talk about how they're going to fix the online registration system, and it remains the same. So first of all, just want to say that. And secondly, making sure that students can access the critical courses that they need in order to transfer or to complete their degrees or complete their programs is vital. And at the same time, so, you know, like I'm familiar that, you know, there are students who are not able to get into the English 1A sections that they need to complete their degrees. And at the same time, we need to make sure that we are growing enrollment responsibly and steadily so that there are faculty and sections available for students to take those required classes. Because without the enrollment, without the students, we can't grow those courses.
Thank you. Let's move on to Alan Wong.
Thank you. There have been students that have brought up that, oh, I've started taking these classes in the program and now I can't complete the rest of it because the class is no longer available or they have to wait a very long time. And that's something that is a very difficult thing to hear as a trustee, because every student deserves to be able to finish their program in a timely manner, and for them to be stuck for years in waiting to finish, it's very challenging. And also just even our English classes, being able to take the basic classes so that they can move through and graduate with their associate's degree or other matters. So I think we really need to work with our faculty prioritization process to ensure that we get the right mix of positions. Also using employee attrition to realign our resources and seeing if we have retirements and resignations, where we can reallocate some of those resources into the most in-demand areas at our school.
Thank you. Let's move on to Aliyah Chisti.
Thank you. I think, yes, improving our registration system is incredibly important. The board was moving forward with a new registration system, but due to financial constraints, we have to revisit this concept. So that's unfortunate, and we're hoping that the administration will make strides there, because it should not. We could do all of the marketing in the world, but if once you're trying to register, you can't register, it's pointless. Enrollment management is a complicated process, and it's nuanced. It requires consultation with the administration, department chairs. It needs to be aligned with budget. And so oftentimes, you know, maybe a class is offered at a certain time and it doesn't get filled, and then it moves to another time. And so those are some of the complications that we have to take into account, especially with fiscal financial constraints. And so as board members, we can ask questions. We can make sure the administrators are working with the students to make sure they have a plan or they're able to get in where they need to.
Thank you. Let's move on to Ben Kaplan.
I think this comes actually back to vision and having a clear vision for the school. Great example. So I'm currently pursuing at City College a certificate in diversity and social justice. I wanted to advance that over the summer. I could not enroll in any class. I have a low priority because I'm an adult returning student in any class over the summer. Yet the summer is actually the way the state formula works is the one season we must win at City College. The reason is that for the student funding formula, the summer counts twice. One student counts as two. The reason, it's the prior academic year. It's at the end of that year. The summer counts as an enrollment. And the future academic year, it also counts. So if we had a clear vision that we want to grow City College, that it's a great institution, then we would say, we must win the summer. Yet what we've done is the opposite. We've shrunk down the summer. So we need to have a clear vision, a clear direction of where we're going, clear leadership, and that shift in attitude that City College is growing and has a great purpose. So many of the decisions we make now are designed to limit the damage as opposed to maximize the opportunity.
Thank you. Let's move on to Heather McCarty.
Great, thank you. As other people have already mentioned, it's great to have this conversation about how you get the classes once you get into college, community college at City College, but also getting into City College, really, that process needs to be fixed. I'm glad to hear that that continues to be something that's being worked on. In terms of courses that are available, one of the kind of special things about the community college system is that it's actually shared governance, and you have an amazing partner on campus. They're the Academic Senate and their faculty, and they're the folks who are responsible for programming and for curriculum, and what is standard practice is to actually have courses offered on what are a two-year cycle. So a whole program should know how and when they're going to offer all of the courses in their department and in their program. And this should be done on a two-year cycle, and it should be in the course catalog so that students know. So there's never a question about whether or not the class they need to complete their certificate is going to be available. They should be able to look in the catalog and know that's when it's going to be available. That's the commitment that should be made. And I think it's pretty easy to partner with the Academic Senate and invite them on this journey to fix this, because this is a very fixable problem. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's move on to Julio Ramos.
First off, when on the board, we're going to audit the grant and research office. They're responsible for the college accessing funding for non-traditional programs. And currently, the college is not accessing all the funding that it has available. It clearly is not. And that's why there's a constraint on the amount of classes available in certain areas. The college is also not acquiring all the available state funding. There's a program called the Legal Pathways Program that provides students with funding to access and become a lawyer. City College of San Francisco does not participate in that grant program. So we're losing a lot of opportunity. There is a lot of money available. City College of San Francisco and the Grants and Research Office is not doing its job. And I think that's one of the key areas of the college, because accessing that granting and that grant money is vital for a lot of students.
Thank you. Let's move on to Louis Zamora.
Could you repeat the question again?
Yes. Some community members have expressed frustration with the availability of some classes at City College campuses or online, especially when it comes to prerequisite classes or those that complete a specific degree or certificate program. The main frustration for most people was it being a lengthy process to get started or to finish certain programs. What can you do to address these concerns?
Thank you very much. I think it's already been mentioned, but the registration process, I've gone through it. For me, it was a disaster. And at no time was I prompted to fill out a FAFSA. And that is free federal dollars that could be available to students. But that's really important, because part of our student-centered funding formula, there's a percentage of the funding that comes in because of students that use Pell Grants and Promise Grants, et cetera. So we want to make sure that they're filling out these things where we can get free federal dollars. But the other thing is we need to make sure that we start responsibly bringing back some of those English 1A teachers that were laid off. It's a required course, and students need it to graduate, but there's not enough faculty or sections to teach that course. So I believe, obviously, they had to make a tough decision in 2020. I don't know how they arrived at what was going to get cut, but I don't believe that required courses is the place to start when you're doing that.
Thank you. We'll now move on to the next question. What will you do to make students and staff feel safe and respected on campuses with tensions over the Israel-Gaza war increasing on both sides of the conflict? We'll start off with Ruth Ferguson. Oh,
thank you. All right. Well, this is an issue I've actually spent thousands of hours on. I'm Jewish. I was raised in a rural hometown in Washington. There was a lot of white supremacist activity. And when I went to college, that was the first time that I was in a Jewish community. And there were BDS resolutions on my campus. There were, at the time, I mean, I took classes on the conflict and on the kind of history of it. There isn't a 60-second response to this. I can say that my experience is that I am a trained dialogue facilitator specifically on this issue. I have worked with college students across the country with dozens of faculty and staff and also student leaders to bring more conversation on this, to understand the historic inequities and injustices, and also to figure out where we're going in the future. So I don't know how I'm supposed to answer that in 60 seconds, but that's a little bit of, I guess, who I am.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Alan Wong.
Yes, this brings me back to my background in the National Guard. As a National Guard officer, in the aftermath of the January 6th riots, I was deployed to our state capital to ensure that there would be a balance between the safety of our folks in the Capitol, and also the right of people to have their free speech. And so I take those sort of ethic and values with me to my work as a trustee. We had actually, as board president, I had students that reached out to me that wanted to do an encampment on campus. And so what I did was actually I connected them with our College Police Department that has had a good past relationship with our past protesters, even when there are faculty layoffs, and they're able to work out a plan and guidelines so that our students could conduct their free speech and at the same time respect the safety and rights of all other individuals. So I think that we have our shared values as Americans to ensure that all of our community groups have the right to free speech. And at the same time, we acknowledge that everybody on campus has the right to not necessarily participate and have the right to move freely on campus as well. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Aliyah Chisti.
Thank you. I think it's something that it's important for the board to acknowledge. So the board has had dialogue on this issue, and we have acknowledged the experience that our different groups on campus could be experiencing. So I think one of the things that we've done is also to not only have a safe space, but a brave space, and to set that tone at the board level, because hard conversations are going to happen, but they need to happen in a respectful way. And so this is something that the board has been active about and making sure that our students feel supported and there's as much healing as we can offer with all of the things that are happening in Israel and Gaza right now.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Ben Kaplan.
One of the classes I've taken at City College was actually on anti-Semitism and anti-Arabism. They actually had both sides in that issue, and it was really interesting because you had passionate people on all sides of this, but the way the class was done was that everyone was heard, there was a chance to voice, there was a chance to be heard, and the idea was that we in this class are this little small community that is a microcosm of the community of City College. And so I think one of the things I learned from that, and it's actually the number one predictor of student success in college, is that you feel that you're a part of, no matter what your background is, no matter what your beliefs are, no matter where you're from, no matter what your station in this life, you feel that you're part of a community that cares about you. That's the number one predictor of student success, is just, you're not just a number, you're part of a place that cares. And so my concern on this issue is that I just want everyone to feel like they've been heard, that they're cared about, that they're part of the community. And we've got to do that for everyone, no matter what their background is. And we need colleges and college campuses to fight for that we are all a community together.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Heather McCarty.
Thank you. I think when I think about these kinds of issues, I think they fall into sort of two buckets, right? There is, you know, policy and procedure and how that gets implemented. And I actually think City College does that really well for the most part. And then there's sort of, how do you actually change society? How do you change the way people think so that people feel safe? Because everyone has the right to not just feel safe, but actually be safe. At my college, I helped to co-found and I co-direct an academic center. And we have five pillars, and they're access, equity, inclusion, service, and justice. And we provide programming and training around these five pillars. We also do grant making around these five pillars. And I think that when you start to think about how do you create an environment where it's safe for everyone to exercise free speech and to understand what those boundaries are, I think part of that really comes from sort of changing the way everyone thinks. So I think that training for staff and for faculty and is incredibly important. And so I would definitely advocate for cultural competency training at the college.
Thank you. We'll now move on to Julio Ramos.
Obviously, the students have a right to free speech, and I think it's very important that colleges and universities provide that for students and a safe space. I myself am a graduate of Columbia University Law School, the epicenter of the entire process where students were protesting what is going on in the Middle East. And I think there's a lot of lessons to be learned about how that crisis was handled. What's happening in the Middle East, in my opinion, is genocide. But I do believe that the state of Israel has a right to exist as well. And I think a lot of people have those opinions, and having a dialogue with respect to how policy in this country is shaped is very important. And it starts with students, because students ultimately are the conscience of a nation. And we need to support the student right to protest, and we need to support the student voice in any way possible. The Board of Trustees should support that, definitely.
Thank you. Now we'll move on to Luis Zamora.
Thank you very much. Well, I very much support free speech, but I do not support hate speech or violence. Students are coming to City College for multiple reasons, as we've talked about up here, but it needs to be a safe space. So I feel like, you know, we want to make sure not to cut off people's free speech, but we also need to be investing in certain things. Some people up here mentioned grants. I think that's an excellent way, investing in more cultural events. City College already participates in events like that, but we need to do a better job of investing in those cultural events, in my opinion. But I also think that we need to invest and provide for those who are willing to participate. Mental health services, sometimes students just need a time to tap out and to talk to someone about how they're feeling about something they've heard. I think we need to invest more in those areas as well.
Thank you. That was our last question. Candidates, it's time to share your closing statements with voters. We'll go in reverse alphabetical order by first name. You'll each have 60 seconds for closing statements. Let's start off with Ruth Ferguson.
All right. Thank you so much for giving us the opportunity to share with you today. I'm so excited to be running for City College Board, and it's because I have the lived experience as a community college student, as a community college student leader, and also the professional experience as a former legislative staffer, someone who has a master's in public policy, and as somebody who's worked with universities across the country and worked with students for years and years. I have, you know, built and led a statewide coalition to advocate for workers' rights after coming forward as a whistleblower. I have stabilized working families during the pandemic, and I've worked over the past 15 years on various social justice issues as a leader. And I'm really proud to be endorsed across the political spectrum in San Francisco by leaders who know that I know how to work collaboratively to achieve real change. And I'm so excited to hopefully do that on the City College Board. And thank you so much for your consideration.
Thank you so much. Let's move on to Alan Wong.
Oh, this side. Thank you. I'm so glad to be here. For me, I have a comprehensive education policy background, having worked in higher education, having worked in childcare as policy director for Children's Council San Francisco, having served as student delegate to the San Francisco Board of Education and on the SFUSD Student Advisory Council, having worked in all of our San Francisco education systems, childcare, K through 12, higher education. So for me, my entire family attended City College, and City College is deep and personal to me. As I mentioned earlier, both my parents took ESL classes at City College. I attended my own classes when I was a high school student, helped me graduate early from college. And my dad was able to support our family for two decades because he went through the culinary program. And so that's why City College is very deep and personal to me. And that's why I'm here to fight to protect the college and to ensure that it continues to be sustainable for long term for our community. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move back to Louis Zamora.
Thank you very much. I am excited to be running for City College. I have a shared experience with many of its students. My family didn't make enough money to send me to a four-year college. They made just enough where we couldn't get any kind of scholarship funding whatsoever, federal grants, you name it. But I had to work full-time, and I know that many City College students are doing the same. I think we need to continue to add representation like that to the college. I will also say that I'm a very pragmatic approach to decision-making, collaborative. Many folks have already had multiple years to right the ship at City College, and it just hasn't done so. So I think there's, we're at an inflection point where it's time for some change on the leadership. Some folks have been doing better than others, but I really do believe that our best days are ahead for the college. We've got a number of folks that are running to actually put the long-term financial stability of the college first. And I am proud to be endorsed by folks like Speaker Emerita Nancy Pelosi, the Attorney General, and many unions that you can find on my website. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Let's move on to Julio Ramos.
Well, I do believe that San Francisco is the greatest city in the world. And I do believe that San Francisco City College is the best college in San Francisco. Unfortunately, there are problems at the school that are not being addressed and are not being acknowledged properly. I was so fortunate to serve on the board from 2000 through 2008. It was the best experience of my life. And I believe that the incumbent trustees probably feel the same way. It's an enriching experience. But the college needs help. It needs help in the sense that people who are dedicated to improving the future sustainability of the college must be elected. I'm that type of candidate. I have the experience of having been on the board at a time when the college was functioning properly. There were problems at the college that I specifically addressed, and I called for performance audits. So that's what we need, someone with knowledge and someone with a perspective of the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Let's move on to Heather McCarty.
I've dedicated my entire life to community college education because I truly believe that it is the best pathway for economic and social uplift, and that is what City College provides for everyone in the city. And so I am running because I want to help protect that mission and protect that purpose for our college. For me, when I think about City College, I am concerned about the financial health. I decided to throw my hat in the ring in January when they got put on accreditation warning. City College just got, in August 1st, put on a high-risk status for financial insolvency in its future. It is really struggling. I am the former chief negotiator for my union. I am also on the budget committee of my college, so I have a keen understanding of the financial landscape that is the community college system, and I have experience navigating and dealing with it successfully. And so I decided to throw my hat in the ring because that's my weird specialty, and I wanted to bring it to City College to help right the shift so that it can be here for generations to come. Thanks.
Thank you. Let's move on to Ben Kaplan.
Well, thank you, League of Women Voters. I have this lifelong mission. When I started out as a student, I had no ability to pay for college. I hustled around. My backstory as I won two dozen scholarships worth $90,000, found a way to pay for school. And so it became my life's mission that I would get 1 million students who otherwise wouldn't be into college, and figure out a way to give $1 billion in scholarships. I've got a ways to go on that. But the number one thing, and the reason I'm running in City College, is that we just need all of our attention focused on City College. And, you know, it doesn't have to be this way. It's the political process that has impeded what should be an education-focused, student-centered, support the faculty, part of this process, and we've let politics get in the way. So I think at least one candidate on the 7-member board should be someone who isn't political in nature, who does have experience. I've helped grow enrollment for UCLA, Texas A&M, dozens of other schools around the country, and we've just got to do this now, and we absolutely can do it.
Thank you. Let's finish off with Aliyah Chisti.
Thank you. Thank you again for coming tonight to those that are listening and for those that will watch this video later. I want to thank you for caring about who is running for City College of San Francisco. It's a down ballot race, but it's an important institution and serves our community. I can speak to my voting record. I have made very hard decisions while I've been on the board, and I have prioritized financial and organizational stability. Change takes time. I believe there is one board member on the board currently that is not a political player. I will make pragmatic decisions, and I will make sure that we center reaffirming our accreditation, balancing our budget, and making sure we prioritize student success. And so thank you, and I would be honored to have your support on November 5th.
On behalf of the League of Women Voters of San Francisco, thank you to the candidates, the voters, and the Lost Church for supporting this nonpartisan forum. To everyone here tonight, tuning in online or watching the recording, thank you so much for participating in our democracy by learning about your choices for the upcoming election. The League of Women Voters will host candidate forums for most local races, including the mayor and the sheriff. Visit our website at lwvsf.org to learn more and RSVP.
Be a voter and cast your vote by Election Day on November 5th. Your vote matters. Be the change you want to see. Together, we can build the future of our community. Remember to vote and encourage your friends, family, and neighbors to vote. Thank you and have a good night.
Thank you.
Thank you.